Happy 2026. Yes, we made it. Clock it. Welcome. This is Pen Plus Bytes MIO Knowledge Hub Podcast, your most authoritative platform where we dive deep into media and information literacy education. Can we address disinformation with new laws?
Laws in and of themselves are not bad, but a bad law can be promulgated. So the law, if we say law is just supposed to give all of us a level playing field where we all can operate within certain barriers. But the low side of it is that a law can be done which would turn out to be a bad law because it would adversely affect those who it is supposed to regulate.
I mean, key individuals in society have criticized the bill. Someone like Manasseh Azuri has stated categorically that we should scrap this bill. Like, we shouldn't even look at it twice.
Laws are not bad. Laws are right. But for us to address an issue, we need to address the issue from the basics, like from the foundation. So if you want to address the issue of misinformation, disinformation, let's start to teach people about what misinformation is, what disinformation is, what malinformation is, how to prevent or how to counter those things instead of pushing a law under their throat.
We can critique the law as hard as we want, but also let's admit that we have a mis and disinformation problem, at least online. That much it is something we must admit,
right?
When the ethical aspect fails, that is when the government jumps in with the law. When you are not being responsible on your own after you have been given
all the education,
then now it is time to use legislation to get you to obey,
right?
Because now we have gotten tired of begging you that be responsible. Once you refuse to be responsible, okay, then now we'll use the stick.
Happy 2026. Yes, we made it. Clock it. Welcome. This is Pen Plus Bytes MIO Knowledge Hub Podcast, your most authoritative platform where we dive deep into media and information literacy education. But before we unwrap what we have for you on this episode, let me say thank you to DW Academy and the German Corporation for their continuous support. But most importantly, to you, the one watching, we appreciate you so much. Your likes, your comments, your reshares, your reposts. Oh my God, it means a lot to us here at Pen Plus Bytes. Thank you for making 2025 a very rewarding journey for us, and we are hoping that 2026 will be even much better. You are welcome to another episode. It's a new year, it's a new episode, but same host. I am Manuel, and make sure to follow us on all Pen Plus Bytes social media handles at Pen Plus Bytes. Let's take a quick breather, and when I return, I'll serve you the juice. Right, this is still Pen Plus Bytes MIO Knowledge Hub Podcast, where we dive deep into media and information literacy education. Today, we are asking the question of, can we address disinformation with new laws? And so the title of this episode is, can Ghana address disinformation with new laws? And how do we strike a fine balance between regulation and freedom of speech? I've been joined by two amazing experts working in the field of information integrity to help us unpack the issues and find answers to this big question. Either we can address disinformation with new laws. I have Espa here. Espa is new to my podcast. Espa, you are welcome.
Thank you, Manuel.
Right. And I have Alpha also here. Alpha works with Factspace West Africa as an editor. Alpha, you are welcome.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Right, feel at home. Today we are looking at addressing disinformation, and we are looking at the using laws as a means to address the issue of disinformation. But first and foremost, let me pick your perspective. What's your general take on addressing disinformation using laws?
Thank you very much. And like you said, new episode, new year. And I think I'm a new guest to this program. Then let's put that also on record. The question, it's intriguing. First take is that, do we have laws that are already seeking to address this issue that we are discussing? It is so. But yeah. Have we even attempted to evaluate or take inventory of how effective those laws are? So then when we hear there are more laws coming, then you begin to ask those questions. Can we take stock? Can we properly do an evaluation to know how these other ones have been used, for which reason we are even trying to bring up new laws? Laws in and of themselves are not bad.
Okay.
But a bad law can be promulgated.
Mm.
So the law, if we say law is just supposed to give all of us a level playing field where we all can operate within certain barriers. All
right.
But the low side of it is that a law can be done which would turn out to be a bad law because it would adversely affect those who it is supposed to regulate.
Mm.
So that's why we discuss laws. It should be within a context. Is the law going to serve a greater interest, or is it going to actually become a hindrance to, in this case, freedom of speech, for instance.
Freedom of speech.
So laws are good. Can we use laws? Globally, it has been proven that there's only an extent to which a law can go to address particular issues.
Mm.
So for us, I think the first step would be to take inventory of which laws we already have. Right. And then we can discuss as to whether the laws have been effective and whether we need more laws or otherwise.
Right. Talking about taking inventory, let me just say that at Pen Plus Bytes, we've done a review of the existing laws addressing misinformation and disinformation. We have the cybersecurity law, we have the electronic communications, and I think we have the
criminal offenses.
Right. Yeah, the 1960,
yeah.
Right? And we've reviewed those laws, and we realized that they are obsolete. They don't really speak to the issues, the current issues now. And so indeed we need some form of regulation, but as to whether it's serving the general good of society, that's the more reason why we are having this discussion. So Espa, you as a young person, you are always on social media, I'm sure you see all the things trending, you see some of the conversations taking place on some of these social media platforms. Do you feel we need a law? Do you feel it's another direction we should really look at in trying to address the issue of mass disinformation?
Okay, I won't agree less with what he mentioned, because the laws are there. The laws are to give us a level and playing field. But even the people who are handling the law can tweak the law for it to work against us. But I was going to mention that about the electronic communication acts and all those things. But yes, we need the laws, because just as you mentioned at Pen Plus Byte, after you guys have worked around that, you realize that they are not addressing the issue. Yeah, there are certain articles in it that have something to do with the MIL, the misinformation, disinformation, but I believe we need the laws that directly address the issue. Then we now have to look at how to implement it, because we need people who would be there for the people, but not against the people. Just as I mentioned, not tweak the law to work against the people, but for it to be fair to everyone and then work for all of us.
Right. Not tweaking the law to work against the people. On that note, the Ministry of Communications came up with a bill looking at addressing mass disinformation, hate speech, and the publication of other information. So, and that was in the tail end of 2025, and it received a lot of backlash from the general public. There were many people who felt this law does not really address the issue of misinformation, but rather it's coming to affect free speech, is going to limit the way with which we can operate on social media platforms and all of that. I don't know if both of you have had the opportunity to glance through the proposed bill and what are some of the issues you are picking up from it.
Okay, so the first word that I would make reference to is fear.
Fear.
Fear, because when people fear that a law is coming to clamp down on their freedoms, they protest. So most of the social media backlash you're talking about is people picking on maybe what they have heard the bail is seeking to do. So they are angry at it. But let's also be clear that the lawmaking process is not a joke. Even before a draft is put out, it means some expert had sat down to think through this. If we are lucky enough, they must have used international best practice. They try to look at other people who have existing laws and try to say, okay, this one is common amongst all of us. So then let's put that on record. Fear is more often than not the reason why people
come against
fight back against laws that are being promulgated. But can we conclusively say those people had immersed themselves in what the law was saying? And more often than not, can we also say that someone can point you to this provision and this other provision is the reason why I'm against it?
Mm.
More often than not, the issue is that once you are spreading fake news, whether on your known, whether known to you or unknown to you, the law is coming after you. So people are apprehensive. Mm. So let's get that that out of the way. Sure. The other point to make is that to the extent that the ministry had put out the draft, seeking input is also a good step because it allows you to, and I'll put this in quote, to speak now or forever remain silent. Because once it is passed, it will apply to you, whether you spoke or you didn't. So to speak is very important. True. So those are issues that we must establish. One, the public fear is the reason why we fight back. And two, being asked to contribute is a positive step. Because even if you are not asked to contribute, the lawmakers can still go ahead and pass their law. So then that's also out of the way. Now, the substantive issue. As someone who has reviewed the document to an extent, you can speak to the fact that it is seeking to regulate speech with structures. So the entire system is trying to put together what is called a division. And the division is supposed to do some amount of regulation of who has said what. It's almost as if they are the ombudsman for trying to see whether you have fallen foul of the law or otherwise. Now, one would ordinarily see that this is an institution that is supposed to regulate, but it is seeking powers that is going to make it maybe not even not accountable to independent bodies. Because for now, when you have a division and it is state-run, there's a fear that, again, the fear comes up. There's a fear that whatever decisions they are going to take could be tainted one way or the other. So that the entire division, and it covers a very big chunk of the document, I think from clauses, is it from 9 to about 15? It has a very expansive rule. Now, that division must have an independent oversight body. There must be a group of people who are not necessarily politically appointed who can also sit back and say that, okay, the decisions of the division count one way or the other. So then there's a need to regulate or to get a tier where the division's decisions can also be looked into beyond what they say. So the division is one area that I think
it could have been structured.
We should look at the structure, and if its powers must be toned down, that must also be done. The other thing is the issue of independent oversight.
Okay.
Even major corporate bodies like Meta have independent oversight bodies because they know the extent to which they must be seen to be serving the public interest. Can there be an independent oversight body that will sit back and look at some of the decisions that even the divisions take? That is very important. That also allows the law to get experts who, quote unquote, come to the table with some independent thinking to be able to help make better decisions or forward-looking decisions.
Right.
So that's an area that I think must be looked at. Yeah. For now, those are two areas that can be looked at or must be looked at, essentially. Yeah.
And I think that's a very important point. The division, which it's been established by the National Communications Authority. Right? As far, I don't know if there are some reservations you have concerning the proposed bill.
For us to be able to achieve this, fight against disinformation, misinformation, malinformation. We need a first step, and that is putting the law together. And obviously, all the authorities that I follow speak for the bill. And as he mentioned, it's an opportunity for us to also...
they speak for the bill?
Yes.
The current bill?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. All right.
But maybe to cue in, part of the reason why I believe people agree with the bill essentially is that we have a misinformation problem in this country, especially online. And people are like, we must start from somewhere. We must ensure that people, even if they are not directly being affected, have it at the back of their mind that there are consequences to what you see and do online.
Right.
So the understanding is that this bill is in to do just that. But of course, when you don't look deep into, you don't look beyond the surface details, then you may run the risk of thinking that it is good, but it may negatively affect. But the understanding is that there's a problem.
Right.
So if the law is coming to solve that problem, then why not? Let's support it, but make the law better.
Yes. Right. Yeah, so as time goes on, you amend it and then work on the ones that are not.
And I mean, key individuals in society have criticized the bill. Someone like Manasseh Azuri has stated categorically that we should scrap this bill. Like, we shouldn't even look at it twice. One more reason is that when you look at the kind of licensing it's requiring from media owners and journalists and all of that, it's saying that each year you have to come for some form of clearance, certification before you can operate and all of that. And I mean, you guys are media people, right? And imagine
having to go through
to go through all these processes just because you want to do your work. Where does media freedom come in? Where does independence of the media come in?
That's
by the way for us to think about Espa saying for him he goes, but I mean that's your opinion.
The fact is everyone has a reservation, like some kind of a reservation. But let's look, this is the first step and it is coming to help. So as we go on, we work on the potholes that we realize needs to be fixed.
Right.
So if we are saying let's scrap it, so doesn't mean we are allowing people to do whatever. Media freedom and everything is there. So just as every year you have to now come and renew your license or something, they can do it 5 years span or something. Or let's start now when we realize that, okay, every year people are always choked at the office. Like when we are doing our NHIS registration or renewal and all those things. Then, okay, let's amend this part and then make it better. Who knows? We are in a digital world or a technological world where they can put in place digital systems that maybe you don't have to go to the office. You just have to fill in some things online and then they review and then get back to you. So there are so many ways to kill a cat, but we need to start from somewhere and then we are able to go. Because media freedom, freedom of speech is something people are really, really abusing. Because even on the traditional media, there are people who would be on traditional media and say anything they think of saying just because they feel like they have the freedom of speech, and it's not right. There are little ones on the media today. Like I know people who turn on media every day and they insult, like they literally insult. And there are little ones that are watching, that are following.
And you feel having a law to guard or to prevent people from speaking is the right way.
I think it's not prevent people from speaking. it's to monitor them and then prevent people from saying things that are not right to be said on the air.
Well, that is very debatable because I mean, who determines what is right? This is a bit wishy-washy, but let's move on to some other discussions.
So to just to have a take on that with respect to media freedoms. When you see clauses in there asking that media organizations should set up fact-checking desks, for instance, that is extra cost to your operational your operations.
Yeah.
Because I'm running a media organization that is strictly doing reporting. We are reporting what is in the news. And there's a certain insistence somewhere that I must essentially have a fact-checking desk. if that is not my a priority for me, am I going to be compelled? And how is that compulsion going to be like? Am I going to be compelled to set up a fact-checking desk? It even gets worse for fact-checking organizations when you tell me that I must come for annual renewal of some license. So then it's almost as if I'm going to be put to a certain set of standards.
Yeah.
Now, here's the point. Fact-checking in Ghana started maybe 2019-20, all the way now. It has evolved over time.
Mm.
So there are principles that fact-checking organizations actually run on.
True.
Now, I know of all three fact-checking organizations in Ghana, they are all signatories to the International Fact-Checking Network, IFC, and Code of Principles, which is Fact-Check Ghana, Fact-Check West Africa, and then Dubawa Ghana.
Mm.
Now, these are standards that we hold ourselves to and that we aspire to. Now, is the government now going to, by this law, are they going to draw new standards? Or are they what standards are they going to hold you to? If you say I should come and register tomorrow, which standards are you going to hold me to?
Mm.
I am doing my independent journalism work. I am accountable to myself and to other people who ascribe to the work that I'm doing. So then when the government steps in, it's almost as if the government is now trying to regulate
yeah.
a certain aspect of journalism, which is fact-checking. And that essentially is a problem. Everybody will raise an issue. And for all you know, these things could come with cost, which means that
yeah.
aside from certain fact-checking desks, your operations are, your mm-hmm. operational cost is also going up. Again, right. it does not allow for that independence that media organizations should have.
Mm-hmm.
At all times, independence is one critical element of the journalism that we do. Once that independence is taken away, it is something else. It's not journalism. It's not fact-checking. So then what organizations must do is to speak up now before it turns into what we think it could become. So then, yeah. So right. then that's a concern.
Yeah, and an avenue is like the inputs that they have to put into the draft.
Yeah.
Like to speak up. Yes. Yeah.
We really appreciate the fact that they actually came out with the draft
yes.
so that key stakeholders, the general public, can have yeah. a say yeah, in what becomes of the law.
Yeah.
And so I think you've even answered my question of, I wanted to ask, what would really change if this law, what would really change in terms of the work you are doing
yeah.
when this law is passed?
Yes.
But I mean,
yes.
the
and
response
to,
you gave
yes,
me.
And if to add, it means then that now your reporting lines, you have a new reporting line. Because when I start planning the year, I know that I am doing work and I'm accountable in this way.
Mm.
Now it means then that I should be accountable to someone else, which means I'm working towards accounting to another stream. Mm-hmm. Instead of my known stream, because IFCN, which is the international organization, would hold you to basic principles
mm-hmm.
of whether you are transparent, of whether your whatever you are doing is clearly known to the public. They hold you to these things: fairness, objectivity, transparency. Now, when the government also says, I have a new set of guidelines that you must obey, it means that in the course of your work, you are thinking of how to report to someone yes. else
mm-hmm.
beyond the known lines, which is an added sort of responsibility to whatever you are doing. So then you have reason to say that, no, it doesn't work that way. You should relook those particular provisions. Just to chip in again, with respect to scrapping the entire law, it could be a typical case of saying we should throw the baby away with the bathwater, that there's nothing good about it.
Mm.
But can we say that, first of all, we don't have a mis- and disinformation problem? Can we say we don't have that? Maybe we can't say that we do.
We can't say that.
So then there's an extent to which something must happen. Is it strict regulation that would sort the problem?
Issue?
That is a conversation we can have. Yeah. But even as we are now, most of the conversations online are driven by people we call social media influencers. And they may not necessarily be trained journalists. And they will put out content believing that it is true, or they'll put out content wanting to drive people to their pages to see what is going on. But there's a risk. If the information is false, people will consume false information. And mind you, the basic principle is that false information travels faster. In fact, fastest.
Yeah,
so that
bad news sells.
From our own checks, false information could hit 100,000 views, say on X, but the fact-checked information could be hitting below 1,000. Now look at the gulf. So chances are that those who have consumed the false information would not have seen the verified information.
Yeah.
The worst part of it is that with our current media social media landscape, information is actually shared across platforms. So that you may have seen the trending video on X, but it may have started from TikTok. Someone would have shared on Facebook. Someone on WhatsApp, you don't even know who has had access to it. So these are the forwarded many times. These are the dangers that everybody is trying to cure. So we can critique the law as hard as we want, but also let's admit that we have a mis- and disinformation problem. At least online, that much it is something we must admit.
Right. I appreciate those submissions. So Espa, let me come to you. Beyond legislation, which other angle can we look at when it comes to addressing mis- disinformation?
I believe and I know that the major thing we need to use to address misinformation is MIL education, media information literacy education, because that's the basics. Imagine bringing a law or enacting a law and people don't even understand the ecosystem, the environment about the law. So you say, don't misinform, or if you do this, the law will deal with you in this way. And the person doesn't even know what you are asking them not to do. So if we teach people how to fact check information, how to check the source, how to ensure that any information they are putting out there, it's well thought through, then we are attacking the main issue, or we are dealing with the main issue, like reducing or fighting against false information. And one thing I would also say is, it's good, like I would thank Pen Plus by Ghana Facts, and then Fact Space, Dubawa for pushing the information and then helping people to be educated, know about the MIL ecosystem, the information disinformation, malinformation ecosystem, how to be able to fact check information. So these are works that are already going on. I'll also add that platforms accountability. So let's say Facebook, X, they have words in the system that when someone puts that word out, they flag it. And then when they flag, they prevent other people from seeing it. That would help a lot, because we watch movies and then FBI, let's say outside the country, FBIs are able to just pick an information, a conversation from, let's say we are having a conversation on WhatsApp. And the moment I say something, they get alerted and then they come, they start investigating, arrest the people to ask them questions. Why are you saying this? Why are you doing this? All those platform accountabilities will help flag and then reduce the broadcast or the spread of false information.
Right. I think that's a brilliant submission. You want us to get to the basics.
Yes.
You want us to teach people the importance of being responsible, even on social media, even with handling our phones. And so it's just right that's why we have this podcast here. It's just right that you know that it's not everything you see that you must share. If you don't like the content that you are seeing, don't like it, don't share it. Let's just be responsible on social media platform, as Espa has just said. I want us to look at how we can guide people to act responsibly on some of these platforms. You are a fact checker. And so I'm sure you are just praying that each point in time, people put out the right information so that your work becomes a bit less easier for you. But as you are still at it, what form of, or what would you advise, or how would you encourage people to operate on some of these media platforms?
Okay, so as a fact checker, I wish that people will put out right information, but I wake up every morning knowing that someone puts out wrong information. So I come out knowing that, okay, even though we are supposed to do the right thing, everybody is not like me or like you. Some people do misinform for reasons known to them, whether political, economic, whatever it is. So then that actually informs why fact checkers would always come to the table with a certain mind that there could be more to what I'm seeing. We want people to act responsibly. Mind you, and with Espoir's point about MIL, what MIL is doing is appealing to your conscience that know what is right and do what is right. It's just an ethical aspect of everything. So one analogy I've heard from Mr. Jerry Sam is, it is inoculation, it's vaccination.
Mm.
You are taking in something that will prevent you from falling prey to wrong information. You're actually helping yourself.
Mm.
It's a first step. But fact-checking is post-facto. When the harm has been done, when the person has come to spread the wrong information, now I'm trying to correct it. So what fact-checking does is that it is trying to get you to understand that you see this that is happening, there is more to it. It's not exactly what you are seeing. There's more to it. That is the first part of it. So when the ethical aspect fails, that is when the government jumps in with the law. When you are not being responsible on your own, after you have been given
all the education,
then now it is time to use legislation to get you to obey.
To the right thing.
Because now we have gotten tired of begging you that be responsible. Once you refuse to be responsible, okay, then now we'll use the stick.
Right.
So then that is the issue. Now, how a person can ordinarily be responsible online? From my experience as a fact checker over these years, the first thing is that never be in a hurry to share.
Right.
Never. At no point. Don't think you are doing somebody a favor by sharing. You may end up actually being the one who is creating or deepening the problem. So don't be in a hurry to share. Always check, cross-check, recheck as much as possible. Ask yourself basic questions. And these are things MIL would always tell you. Ask the basic questions. Who is saying this? Is any other credible person saying the same thing? Why are they saying it? When did what they are saying happen? Those basic things are actually important now because there is what experts call democratization of media. Anybody can be a publisher. Once I pull a Facebook, I start a Facebook Live, I'm potentially a publisher. Because whatever information I'm seeing could be heard by... And the worst part is when you go viral.
Mm.
So then you must at every point not be in a hurry to share. You must check, recheck, and cross-check whatever information you are putting out. Mm. And then, finally, you must make it a point whenever you've come across credible information to share that. Because that you are sure of, because it's credible. So share what you are clear is credible information to help other people. And all of us, for all it is worth, because everybody uses a phone now, must be media information literacy advocates to an extent. Even if it is not your work, at least make sure that you can tell someone that this is the right thing to do. This is not the right thing to do. Each person spreading the information actually makes it a bigger pool where we can all insulate ourselves from. Otherwise, when the fire starts in the house, we all stand the risk of being burnt down.
And even one way is to comment on the fact-checked works. Someone put something out there, a false information, and you go and the comments are a lot, but an organization fact checks that, puts the right information, and then less than 10 comments.
Nobody cares about it.
Reactions and everything.
Right.
And you know, reaction also catches some people's attention. If they realize a lot of people react to something, they want to read and know. So as we are adding up, let's try to comment on those things, share them. As we are sharing, quote them. So add your bits to it. And then quote it, and then share, react, just engage the post.
You made mention of the fact that the fact-checked reports don't get enough engagement, like the false claims and all of that. Could it be that we are not packaging the fact-checked reports well, or we could have... I have a feeling we can do much better in repackaging some of these fact-checked reports so that we can appeal to more people. I don't know if you...
Yes, what
from your field and the kind of work you do, some of these conversations have come up.
So this is a very valid critique that has come with respect to fact checks. Because fact checks are, the process of producing it is the same way the process of consuming it. It's laborious. Mm. So it's like you have to try to understand from one step to the other, to the third, to the fourth. But main news stories are just giving you the information.
What's happened?
This is what has happened. This the implication. But the fact check story is telling that this is what has happened. But hold on, that's not much of it. But what I agree with and what we have agreed with is that the packaging of the content, we must think through the packaging and be more innovative. The wrong information could be just one image. But guess what? The fact check report could be 12, 13 paragraphs. And the 12, 13 paragraphs, if the AI is supposed to summarize the reading time, it could be 9 minutes. Now, imagine reading something for 9 minutes just to understand that something, an image is wrong. That's work for somebody. Why should I take 9 minutes of my time reading to understand why it is? But again, the fact-checked reports are also packaged and put there not for today, but for later. Because one day someone will come looking for that information and realize that, oh, there's actually some information that has actually cured this anomaly that we are facing with.
Right.
People have said that if you have to present your fact checks, make sure you are using more visual cues. There should be more, you should try to use more videos to tell fact check stories. There shouldn't be only read, because people cannot consume that much. Our attention span is now very low, so people cannot consume too much of hard stuff. So can you put your fact checks into other content pools? Can you make it more pictorial? Can you make it more video like so that I can watch a 30 seconds video and then be convinced that I understand this issue rather than having to read a 9 minute script? That's work. The packaging, like you said, is absolutely true. Let's ask ourselves, even beyond, most fact checks are English.
Yes.
That's another angle.
Most fact checks are English. Now ask yourself, that auntie who forwarded that message, if you send her a link to the story, you've not done anything. The work has not even started. Because she needs to hear in her own language why what she shared was wrong. So then even language-wise, we are constrained. In terms of the way it is presented, it can be better. And these are ways that fact-checking organizations are still exploring, as far as I know. Most started with videos.
Like Dobawa
was doing some videos.
I think I've seen Fact Space.
We have started doing more of videos because we understand that the reading is not going to cure all of it. You must think through other means.
Yeah, being innovative.
So those are, you have to be innovative. And that is a fact.
Right.
It's something that we must work on.
True. And we appreciate that. Espar, do you have some practical ways to help young people stay safe online?
Earlier, we spoke about checking the source, knowing when the information even came about and all those things. But one thing I want to add is, think about it, Sadit. Are you adding value to what is there, what is happening, or you are just talking based on emotions? Because if you're adding value, it means you have done the necessary checks. You have checked the source, fact-checked, check other sources to see if the information is right. And then you are commenting, okay, this is wrong. No, this is how it's supposed to be. This is what the person said. Or what the person said, this is the meaning based on, what I read on Dubawa, what I read. You're adding value. But, they said someone said this, and you are just adding emotion. Hey, why did the person say? Or, and a lot of people get to thrive or move on their emotions based on critically analyzing the whole issue. So just to put everything together, make sure you add value to it instead of working or acting on emotions. Because the checking of the sources and all those things had already been mentioned. So you check the source, you check the author, you check the dates, you try to read beyond the headline. And one thing is, they like using newscasts.
What is that?
Newscast. You see what they do most of the times on social media, the news platforms. So they'll put the person's picture and then add a quote.
Picture quotes.
Yes, newscasts. They like using it. And the moment you see newscasts, people act on it. So let's try to maybe read beyond the news card, because most of times when they also put the news cards there, they add the text to it, like a link to the website, but we don't. Yes. So beyond the news card, let's, or beyond the headline, let's try to read and get to know about it. So when you see something somewhere, at least check somewhere else to see, oh, is it the same thing, or someone is having an opposing view? And then you get to feed yourself with the right information and know what the value to add to it. Right. If you won't add value, just leave it like that.
Right. Thank you so much for that submission. This is still Pen Plus Bytes, MIO Knowledge Hub podcast, where we dive deep into media and information literacy education. Alpha, let me come to you for your closing statement. Today, we've looked at addressing misinformation. We've asked ourselves the important question, if we can use laws, or we can use laws in addressing the issue of disinformation. I want your final take.
Okay, so essentially, human rights, digital rights are human rights. And everybody operating online, remember that if you have a social media account, if you use any of the messaging platforms, essentially you are exercising a digital right, because those things are digital platforms. You have a right to the way you use it, but also remember that you must have a responsibility tied to that right to use it. That is why anybody can have something that we can all use, but that if you use that thing to harm someone else, it becomes illegal or it becomes a crime. So we can all have the same thing, but that's the way you use it is what makes it a criminal issue or not. With respect to digital platforms, we cannot run away from the fact that it is a very big playing field. And how you play there will decide whether you are making a case for a law to be promulgated to deal with how we use those platforms. Mm. So once all of us agree to be responsible, essentially we are saying that we don't even need too much laws. Mm. We would regulate ourselves. We would
I like be that point.
Each other's, yeah. We'll be each other's keepers.
Mm. Yeah.
But to the extent that other people are engaged in other ways which are resulting in misuse and abuse of platforms or of the digital channels, we are calling for laws.
Right.
Now, when these laws are also brought, the first thing is that let's not run all of it out, but let's also realize that maybe we should engage more with it and understand what it seeks to do. Once we get that understanding, we will be able to make informed choices. Again, let all of us be media and information literacy advocates. It is one sure way of insulating ourselves from all other people who don't want to be advocates.
Mm, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Espa, let me pick your final thoughts on this topic, or generally sum it up for us.
Okay. Laws are not bad. Laws are right. But for us to address an issue, we need to address the issue from the basics, like from the foundation. So if you want to address the issue of misinformation, disinformation, let's start to teach people about what misinformation is, what disinformation is, what malinformation is, how to prevent or how to counter those things, instead of pushing a law under their throat or pushing a law to regulate what they are doing. So let's invest more on MI education. Literally, I've had conversations where people were like, It's time we even add it to our curriculum.
Mm.
Not maybe as part of a subject, but as a subject on its own. Standing with on. Yes, okay. Standing subject. And with that, every like by the time they get to the kids get to SHS or even GHS, they know the basics and everything. And then we have started fighting. Then it will be like we have started fighting the issue from the grounds. Mm. So my last words is let's educate ourselves. Let's not push laws under our throats, or you try to use laws to fight certain things. Education is the best thing. Like, it prevents us from harm. So let's educate ourselves and also be an MIO advocate, because it is good. Add value and don't act on emotions.
Right. Thank you so much for that. I like your submissions. And one thing Alpha said was that if we all are being responsible, then I don't think we even need too many laws in trying to address the issue of mis- and disinformation. But here are some practical guides I would want to leave all of us with as we wrap up on this episode. When you see disinformation, you can actually report them on some of these platforms. And also, let's try to read beyond the headline. When you see a news story, usually it comes in the form of a flyer. Don't just read the flyer and run with the news. Try to click on that link to read the story. And also, avoid engaging with false posts. Some stories are false. You can clearly see that this story is not true. And even sometimes you don't take time to even look at or pay attention to the video or the flyer. We just like it and then we move on to the next post.
It's appealing.
And then there are a number of reputable platforms that we can go to for information. There are a number of credible news sites we can go to for information. And so let's just try and see which blogger is more credible. Let me follow this person. Let me unfollow that person. Which news platform over the years has been consistent with churning out good information? Let me give them a like. Let me follow them. In doing so, we are helping to build a very healthy information system. It's been a very packed episode, and I'm so grateful to my guests for gracing my studio. Alpha, thank you for passing through. And Espa, it's been amazing seeing you share your insights with us.
Welcome.
Thank you for sticking and staying with us. This is Pen Plus Bytes, MIO Knowledge Hub podcast. The conversation has ended in studio, but you can still be part of it. Join us or share your comments with us on all our social media platforms at Pen Plus Bytes. You can use the hashtag MIO Knowledge Hub podcast. Let me also say thank you to DW Academy and the German Corporation for their continuous support. See you another time. Bye-bye.